You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Good morning. Could you all look great today? It's December, so I wore December red. I just made that up. That just came to my mind right now. We just kind of flow with things here. Hey, good to see you. I love this month, love this time of year. There's a lot going on at Legacy, and I want to just say thank you for jumping in and partnering with us. And we're about ready to dive into the kids' space. We got a week set aside, I believe beginning January, December 8th. We're going to take a week and just, you'll be hearing about it. We'll send out an email and give you the dates to that. We're going to start in the big space over there and just create a great big space for the kids and then kind of launch out from there. So I want to thank you for signing that little paper that says, you know, you're like you're a craftsman, you can work a saw and a hammer and a plumber or whatever. You can thank you for doing that, because we will be calling you, and it's going to be an awesome experience together. How many excited to do that for our kids? Yeah, it's going to be great. Five of us. Okay, how many excited to do that for our kids? Come on. Woo! All right, yes. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We conclude the People Becoming the Church series today. I couldn't be more excited about a message, because I think it's really the culmination. So let's just dive into it together. She was invited by a friend to attend some church meetings up the street from her very modest home in San Fernando, California. It was here at these tent meetings, we used to call them revival meetings, or they used to call them revival meetings way back in the day, where she would accept Jesus Christ into her heart. It's kind of like church under a large tent. She'd continue to go to the tent meetings, even though her husband forbade her. One day he got home from work and his wife was not home, and he knew exactly where she was. She was at that meeting. He walked over to the tent meeting and the evangelist was speaking, and he realized that his wife was seated up toward the front of the auditorium, and he couldn't go up and get her. I mean, he was miffed. He was very angry, but he wasn't going to be rude and walk up to the front and drag her out. Just then, a pretty severe Southern California rainstorm settled over the San Fernando Valley, and not wanting to walk home through the rain, he decided to wait it out and sit at the back of the tent. Side note, if you're like in one of these tents and you sit at the back, you are within earshot of everything that is being said inside of that space. He heard the message of the gospel, that Jesus loved him, gave his life on a cross for his sin, that he didn't have to perform or clean up first, that he could simply come to Jesus just as he was, a broken, lost bootlegger. And that's exactly what he did. And much to his wife's surprise, when it came time for the preacher to ask if anyone in the tent would like to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, her husband got up from the back of the tent where he was waiting for the storm to pass to drag his wife, my great-grandmother, home. My great-grandfather walked to the front of the tent in a makeshift altar, and he dedicated his life to Jesus. It was a decision that would have a generational impact. When he dedicated his heart to Jesus that day, he was paving the way for his family, my grandmother, my mom, me, my kids, my grandkids, to find Jesus. You see, no one is an island to themselves. I'm here on this stage because countless people have spoken into my life. My great-grandparents opened the floodgates that day. I have been influenced over the years by a lot of pastors, great pastors, Pastor Paul, Pastor Bill, Pastor Keith, my parents, people that demonstrated the love of Jesus to me. Watch, that became Jesus to me. I'm standing on this platform alone now, but there's a host of people who have spoken into my life and in many cases rescued me, shaped me, prayed for me, and in fact, became Jesus to me. And here's the takeaway from my journey, from my story, is that Jesus loves me. I'm convinced about it. And I was convinced and reminded over the years. And I'm now compelled, this one that I love, this one that I serve, this one that I've dedicated my life to, I'm compelled now to tell the world about him. At the center of it all, legacy, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he can change lives. That's the heartbeat. Jesus Christ is Lord. And it becomes, listen, everything points back to Jesus, and it becomes impossible to keep him to yourself. If you're listening closely and you recognize that Jesus is the main thing, the Holy Spirit begins to give you ideas, ways to share the hope of your life. He begins to place these ideas by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, prompting of the Spirit of God. What you can do, you and I can do to advance the kingdom. I'm talking about Missio Dei. I'm talking about the mission of God. How, and really the question is, how can I join him on that mission? The mission of God is to send his son into a lost and broken world that we might encounter Jesus. And really the title of this message today is Crazy Idea. How many of you know he still gives crazy ideas? Joining the mission of God, Missio Dei, it may lead to a crazy idea. Turn to kind of elbow your neighbor and says, be ready for a crazy idea. Yeah, just kind of warn them, forewarn them. Really a God idea. See, the evangelist, I'm going to go to heaven one day. Let me just give it, just spoiler alert. I'm going to heaven. When I get to heaven, I will seek out and thank an evangelist, preacher, who I never met, who visited San Fernando, California back in the 30s, I think. And the conversation went something like this. He called the pastor of that church and he said, hey, what about if we set up a tent in the parking lot? Why would we do that? Well, because people would just be drawn, like, what's going on in there? And they'd come in because they said a tent in the parking lot. And let's invite the San Fernando Valley to come out. And I'd get to thank him because I want to say, because you had that crazy idea to set up a tent in a parking lot, my great-grandma showed up. And my great-grandpa was waiting to drag her out of that. I'm telling the same story. And because of that, now my sons and now my kids are, and my grandkids are serving Jesus. It was the evangelist's crazy idea that has a lot to do, think about it, with why I'm standing right here. And where we're going today is I want us to take a few moments and just investigate, watch this, the criteria of a crazy idea, a God idea. What are the ingredients or what are the components of a crazy God idea when Jesus is the main thing? What happens when you embrace him and he begins to whisper these things into your heart, these ideas, thoughts? So I want us to just study that for a few moments. Write this down in your notes if you're taking notes. Number one, I think when that happens, when these ideas come to you, number one, it's all about Jesus. That Jesus is the centerpiece of these crazy God ideas. That we recognize Jesus is the centerpiece of life transformation, not religion, not checking the attendance box or dropping a buck into the offering bucket. It's all about life changing, the life-changing power of Jesus. It's all about the life-changing power of Jesus. Only Jesus can change a life. We see it lived out in Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 5. It'll be on the screens if you like to follow along or turn in your Bibles to Luke 5. Here's what it says. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. They were always sitting nearby. They were always watching him, and they were scrutinizing him, and they were in this house that day, these religious ones, to just see if they could catch him breaking some law and go, there you did it again, right? Point their finger at him. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee, in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, and they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of who? Of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." Here's what these guys teach us. This paralyzed man's friends were absolutely convinced that an encounter with Jesus was exactly what their friend needed. Any of you ever thought about that with your friends? Like, man, you know, you just need an encounter with Jesus. We don't know how they became convinced of this. There's no backstory about their lives. We just know that they were doggedly determined that he needed an encounter with Jesus. You see, if I'm not convinced, this is what this tells me. If I'm not convinced that Jesus is the centerpiece of life transformation, then I lose my primary motivation for inviting my friends and my family and those who are away from God. If I'm not convinced that Jesus can change a life, then I lose that which draws people. My motivation. It's deemed impotent. There's no power. It lacks passion. This knowledge is what fueled the early church, the life-changing power of Jesus. Jesus can change lives. Jesus transforms people. That's what fueled the early church. This knowledge fueled the spread of the gospel faster than anything else. Jesus changes lives. It wasn't catchy marketing. Wasn't the best coffee served in the lobby. Let's hear it for the coffee in the lobby. Come on. Wasn't good music or powerful messages. It was the knowledge that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone had the power to change a life, an encounter with Jesus. That's what motivated these. It's all about Jesus. In fact, Peter said this. He said, "There's salvation in no one else." The book of Acts chapter 4, God has given no other name. We used to sing a song years ago, no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And the members of the council, these religious guys, were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures, and they also recognized them as men who had what? Who had been, would you say that out loud with me? Who had been with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When it's all about Jesus, that's when we begin to see life change. Legacy Church, when it's all about Jesus, that's when we begin to see life change. Everything begins and ends with Jesus. You can't move on from here. There's no point two. If we miss point one, it's all about Jesus. We can't move on to point two. It begins and ends here. How you know you have this God idea, how you begin to walk in this, what are the components of these crazy ideas that God gives? First, it's all about Jesus. Secondly, he redefines friendship, redefines your ideas, our ideas of friendship, or our view of friendship, or our roles and responsibilities as it relates to, let's just say this, as it relates to relationships. Let's read that same scripture again. Same passage. Read it from the lens of the friends. Some men, carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't. They couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." You read it from that perspective, it's just all kinds of things pop out. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, get this, it sounds a little bit like my faith in Jesus has the power to open the door for healing or the miraculous to happen in my friends' lives or my family's lives. Seeing their faith, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Suddenly my brain goes, psh. It really redefines my responsibility, my role. I mean, what great friends they were. They to take from their busy lives, stop what they're doing on in their day, and only to deliver their friend to Jesus, walk around like, you know, four guys. I really wanted to have a stretcher here today and carry somebody around. I really did. That's what I wanted to do. It's too late. I went on Craigslist. There's one for $35, but I couldn't get it here in time. They were operating with a selflessness. They were carrying him around on a stretcher. Imagine that. This isn't the nice, tidy friend that doesn't really need you. We love the nice, tidy friends, don't we? The ones we walk out to our car in the driveway, "Hey! Woohoo!" And we get in our cars and we drive off to work. We get home, "Hey! We need to get together." Right? Those are nice, tidy friends. They don't need anything from us. They don't require anything from us. This guy was not a nice, tidy friend. This was a friend that needed something. He needed me to carry him around. Are you kidding me? This friend had needs, and sometimes he had a lot of needs. The men couldn't get him to Jesus. They tried to get into the room. You know, I was thinking about those religious people that were in the room that were taking up space. Really, they were there to criticize Jesus. They were there to point their. They were there to. You know, it really is a warning to us, though. When the church becomes about us and about well, I don't. You know what I'm saying? That's not how. We could become that way if we're not careful. If church becomes about us, we could become like these guys that come into a building and just take up space so that people who really need to be near Jesus can get near Jesus. But they couldn't get in the building because it was full of people. Compounded the frustration. I get to the house, I can't get in. There's a lot of good things to say about these friends. That's the kind of friend I want to be. Too often, I'm too busy to stop. I'm just going to be honest here. I'm too busy to stop. There's too little margin on my calendar to really clear several hours. Really? Really? How long do you think it's going to? Not these guys. Hey, what do you need, friend? What do you need? Where can we come alongside of you? And here's the lesson. Man, if you want to write this down. I believe this just breathed into my heart by the Holy Spirit. The lesson these guys teach me is the best path to get their friend to Jesus was becoming like Jesus to their friend. That the best shot that their friend had to encountering Jesus was that these men had to really become the best of Jesus to their friend. And for me, it says that the best chance my friends, my family, those that I'm in relationship, those that are in my apartment complex, as I'm leaving the complex this morning, I'm thinking about my friend, I'm thinking about this message, and I'm saying, dear Lord, I've not done enough. I've not reached out enough. Conviction. That the best chance my friends and family have in encountering Jesus is that I become like Jesus to them. What does that even mean? Like, what are you saying? It means take on the characteristics of Jesus. Being selfless. It's not about me. It was said of Jesus, he did not come to be served, but to what? But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The willingness to be inconvenienced, the willingness to go beyond what's comfortable, the willingness to extend myself to my neighbors in ways I've never done before. People becoming the church. I like what Wes says in that book. He says, I used to think that I needed to introduce everyone I knew to Jesus. And it turns out Jesus wants to introduce me to my neighbors. I love that. Guess what? Jesus wants to introduce you to your neighbors. What is it about you? It's the Jesus in you. They need to see that. Could it be the best chance my friends and my family have in encountering Jesus is that I become like Jesus to them? I show them by my life what the love of Jesus looks like. So let's trudge on together. How do you know you have a God idea? What are the components of this crazy idea that God may whisper into your heart? One, it's all about Jesus. It may redefine your idea of friendships, may stretch it, may mean more role, more responsibility to be proactive. Let me give you the third one. The third component to a crazy God idea, I think, is this. I think it's that I see with different eyes. I see, you can add the word obstacles. I see obstacles with different eyes. So let's play this out a little bit. Let's play this story out. Four friends, they're carrying their friend along and they're bringing him to Jesus. They're bringing him to Jesus because they're absolutely convinced in their hearts that he's the only one that can change his life. And when they arrive at the house, they're disappointed to discover that the house is simply too crowded to get their friend past and into where they needed to go. People were peering in through windows and doors. They're spilling out around the house. So they needed another. You know, it's like that feeling you get when you go to Disneyland and it's like in the middle of the week and you think you're the only one that had that idea. It's like, well, don't these people work? You know, it's like you just get so disappointed. Like, wow, how do I... Let's read the scripture again, same one. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, and they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they, what? What did they do? They went up to the roof, and they took off some tiles. The other thing I wanted to have here was just some terracotta tile from a roof. But there's not much terracotta tile I found in Spokane. Maybe there's around somewhere, but just have a piece of tile, roofing material. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Some might go home, right? We see the crowd, bummer. Anybody like me? Like, man, we'll have to come back. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. I mean, let me check my calendar. This ain't happening today. Not these friends. They immediately see an alternate way. They see something different. Here's the sequence. Men and women convinced of the life-changing power of Jesus. They bring their friends to him, or they bring Jesus to their friends. They come upon an overstuffed room filled with people, and they realize the risk and what's at stake, and they sense the severity of this moment, and they come up with a crazy idea. Can you imagine the first guy that looked up? Yeah, I know this guy. I know this sounds crazy. Like, it's going to sound crazy, but I just got an idea. This is what motivates those who seek to get their friends to Jesus, to encounter Jesus. They'll not be deterred. Crazy ideas are forged in places like this, in moments like this. Someone's in need. Crazy God ideas are forged in moments like that. Someone who's deterred from getting to Jesus. This is the kind of soil that's needed for a crazy God idea. There's an impasse. Human life is at stake, and the need for Jesus is great. These men created an opportunity where one did not exist before. They saw something that wasn't like, hey, there's, you know what? You know what's going on right now in town is people are like going through roofs. So why don't we try that? I've been reading in the paper, and there's a lot of people are doing this. You just start moving tiles and you just go through the roof. There wasn't a roof removal movement going on. It wasn't cut and paste. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be a cut and paste church. Nobody wants that. I know we have lights and we have coffee in the lobby and we try to stay on social media and we try to... I want to look up. Because I think God's going to give us ideas that aren't born out of Andy Stanley's heart. I love Andy Stanley. They're not born out of Stephen Furtick's heart. But that God has something to say to Liberty Lake and the surrounding region through your heart for such a time as this in this area. Let me tell you something. God's not out of ideas. And Patty was right. She said it earlier. I heard her. It's not Gary and Patty up in a, you know, up in a room somewhere trying to come up with new ideas, new ways to draw people to Christ. It's people becoming the church. Notice what Jesus did. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up and walk, pick up your mat, and go home." He probably said it more kindly than I just sounded right there. Hey, stand up, pick your mat, go on home. And immediately as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and he went home praising God. See, they created an opportunity. In fact, this is Legacy's mission statement, creating opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. They saw an access point where there wasn't one. They had a crazy idea. Take off the roofing material. See, crazy ideas are called crazy for a reason. And the question I want to ask today is, what is Jesus challenging you to? What might he be whispering in your heart? In fact, I want to show you a video here in... And I saw this, and there's so many examples of this going on in our nation. Ministries like UGM, our birth because somebody had a crazy idea. Like, what if we helped? Like, what if we provided shelter and housing for people? Like, what if we read to elementary students and just read there and just influenced kids? That's what happens when people get consumed with Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and he renews your perspective and stretches your vantage point and your thinking, and it becomes about more than just us. And then he shifts your perspective. The lights go on. You go, oh my goodness. I didn't see that before. The story that I want you to see is a hospital, a place where unwanted babies are rescued in Korea. Just check this out, and then I'm going to come back and close up our time together.
Feels in some ways just like a normal home to us because it is our norm and we're used to having all these kids who take all these meds and do all sorts of crazy things and every one of them runs around with a little scar down their chest. But when you step back and look at it from a broader perspective, you can panic a little bit because you're like, oh my goodness, there's all these crazy, fragile kids all here in this same home. But I call it my little house of brave because it's just these brave little babies. The children here at Morningstar have all been abandoned, most likely because all of our children here have complex cardiac defects. We can assume that their parents knew that there was something dramatically wrong with their baby and they didn't have the medical care or they didn't have the funds for a surgery or they didn't have a hospital anywhere near their rural farming village. And so they did choose to abandon their child. We have the most incredible women in all of China, I truly believe, who are here taking care of these babies. Our nannies here, they work on 48-hour shifts. They have given up time with their families. They've given up a lot of comfort. They've given up a higher salary that they could make somewhere else to come and truly be a mom to these babies in the in-between time while we have them here in our home.
我叫王桂琴，在真兴之家已经做了8年阿姨了。我最喜欢在这里做的事，就是陪孩子玩，看孩子在一起，又打又闹的，挺看着孩子，我也挺开心的，对孩子给我带来一种欢乐。反正我就我的我在我的心目中，我就是，对这些孩子说实在都挺可怜的，像我们这阿这些阿姨都像一点爱心给他，因为没有爹没妈被爹妈抛弃了，因为有病。
A lot of them called their阿姨 奶奶, which means grandma, but 奶奶 will be there right there at their beck and call, and it's so important for these kids to have the security of the constant presence of a parent figure in their life. Our kids know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have their person, and they have that阿姨 who is there for them and cares for them specifically.
我带过一个妹妹，从监护室才2天从监护室就出来，肚子插个管子，反正那孩子一点症状都没有，像翻身，伸手就看着我第一眼，伸手就让我抱着，根本就不敢抱她，我一洗没有睡觉，那孩子因为这管子这个插这管子吧是通心脏的，是反正从肚子里往出流脏水的，说怕孩子把这管子挠破是拔下来，拔下来就出血，就什么，反正就是。
We know that it's eventually going to end in either that child being adopted by a family and going to America, or that child passing away from their heart condition. And so it's a really hard, it's a hard job. It's a crazy hard job for these women. They're saying yes to heartbreak every day they walk in these doors, because you just, you see these babies and you're loving them as your own and you're taking care of them as your own child, and you can't help but fall in love with them and feel like they are your child.
做了第二次手术就做了，别个又做三次手术，这孩子挺不容易的，挺严重的。我就希望他，做第三次手术能根治了，健健康康的就得了，希望他开开心，健康就行了。他跟妹妹，他妹妹是我一小就带的，带好二三年，我心里我心疼我，都走那孩子，我特喜欢他，心里孩子挺难受的。
I try to tell them every day how impactful what the work that they're doing here in this home is for these kids for years and years and years down the road, because they are teaching these babies how to love and how to be loved, and there's no greater gift.
I hope these kids are healthy, happy, and happy to grow up. That's my biggest dream. That's what I'm saying. I'm just going to take a child. 甭管他说就是走到哪块去了，奶奶挺爱你的，希望你快快乐乐的长大，就说这些，说些这些呗。
Here's what I hear: "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Somebody had a crazy idea and they said, you know, I'm going to go to China. I'm just going to rescue babies. That nurse, that's what I'm going to do. The purpose of this message today is not to send us all to China or some remote part of the world. But I will tell you, as a church, we're going to have a world vision that somehow impact places like this that we can partner with and just see kids rescued. But I know right here in our own neighborhood, in our own community, the people that you and I are around from day in and day out, that as we take on the Missio Dei, the mission of God, and really believe in our hearts that He, that Jesus is the only one that can change a life. And we say to Him with a humble heart, how can I, Lord, today, I don't want to say, or today, bless what I'm doing today. I want to say, God, how can I join you in what you're doing? I want my prayer to change. But how can I partner with what you're doing? How can I be the best version of Jesus to the world that I come in contact with? Well, we have some created this little card that I want to show you that. You can grab some of these on your way out today. It's just maybe God's not saying, China, go. But maybe He's saying, you know what, I bet I could buy the person behind me at Starbucks a cup of coffee. And this little card says simply this: something extra to show you God loves you. And on the back it says, and so do we, and the Legacy Church webpage. I was thinking, like, what is there? Maybe there's just simple way. Maybe there's small ways. Maybe there's baby steps that we could take that just say, you know what? I just want to know what it's like to just get on mission with God. With this card on the back table in the lobby, there's an idea sheet that just says different ideas on how to use this. You know, deliver fresh baked cookies to a neighbor or a coworker and take the card. Offer to babysit for free. Pay for someone's a fast food meal behind you in the drive-thru. Leave the card with the person. Just hand this to them on your way out. Send a note of encouragement to somebody. Give another driver your parking spot. Missio Dei, right there. Leave a big tip for a waiter or a waitress. Not the 10. Don't calculate the 15 or the 20%, but like double it. like whoa, and just leave that card. Just God, something extra to show you God loves you today. So do we. This has been an amazing series to go through together. People becoming the church, and this is what it's all about. Responding to the message of Jesus and going out from this place and taking Jesus to a lost world. Amen? Amen. Ushers, I'm going to invite you to come forward. There's a card here, everyone, and take those connection cards. We do pray for the praise or the prayer requests and the praise reports on the back. We read those every week. And any of those boxes that kind of signify where you are in your journey, notice box number 4. I am asking God to awaken a crazy idea for me to accomplish. Please pray with me. That's the safest box you could check. Okay? That's the safest box. You check that box, all you're going to get is this guy right here praying for you. So I just want to join you and pray. Because I want you to have a crazy idea. I want you to come up to me, to Patty. You know, I was thinking that look or that. I was just thinking, what if... And then we just go from there. The 5th one, Fox says, God has stirred a crazy idea in my heart too. Maybe he's already, maybe even this message today or that video or something, like, just write it down. I'm just going to pray with you, join you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Then just drop that card in the offering buckets as you pass today. Thank you for your generosity, legacy. Thanks for being on this journey of faith with us. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing at Legacy, Lord. Thank you. We just believe, God, you want to change lives. We just believe you want to do work in this region. You want to use us, all of us collectively. Not just on Sunday when we gather here, but Lord, throughout the week, help us to become the church. Let the crazy ideas flow. Let the God ideas come, I pray, in Jesus' name.